Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come
alive. That's how I change my world. Acts of the Apostles. So if you take a critical study of the book of Acts, you find out that from the chapter 1 all the way to the chapter 9, chapter 10 was about the act of Peter. Why? Because Luke was the son of Peter. So he was taking account of the ministry of Peter. And when Peter leads him to work with Paul, he took account of that, the ministry of Paul. So you find that from Acts chapter 11, almost, it is about the account of what? The ministry of what? Paul. That's why you see that these two characters dominated the book of Acts. It's because of the one who wrote the book of Acts. Actually, they were not the ones who were doing mighty things in their time. All the apostles were used by the Spirit of God. But it was the book of Acts was the presentation of Luke. Now, for you to understand the book of Acts, you find out that this book actually precedes Acts. The book of Luke was written to a guy who became born again. His name is Theophilus. Now, in those days, there were a lot of things that were said about the Christian faith. There were a lot of teachings going on. And there were a lot of rumors. So people were saying that, oh, this and that and that. And Luke found out that this new show that I have won, if I don't put to record the right faith that has been delivered unto us, let's read it. It said, give me verse 2. Even as they are delivered, as they delivered them unto what? As which from the beginning were on eyewitnesses. So he's talking about people who have walked with Jesus, has experienced the ministry of Jesus, not that they were told. So he is talking from a point that he has walked with people who were benefactors of the new ministry of Jesus. And therefore he can give them authentic knowledge about the life and ministry of Jesus. So they found that the culture of the Christian life was threatened at that time, that people were having a lot of things to say. It's just like today media. When something happened, every media house and how they present the news, right? So everybody wanted something to say, oh, and they heard that Jesus did it. So Luke wanted to save his newborn being from being polluted and indoctrinated with what is not the actual doctrine of the Christian faith. So he said, I perfected. Said, and ministers of the word, it seems good to me also, having had us perfect what? Understanding of all things from the very first. So he had a perfect understanding. Luke was a very learned person. So Peter educated him to the point that he had a perfect understanding of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus to the point where he stopped. Then he decided to write to Theophilus. So Luke saw that there was a problem in during their time. What was the problem? People were writing a lot about the things of the faith. People were saying a lot about the things of the faith. And it seems that if he doesn't do anything about this matter to help his newborn soul, the soul will be in trouble. What am I trying to say? Faith has a component called belief, which we call the objective faith. Now, people that believe defines the culture of people. The things that we have accepted that it is true forms our way of life. And one of the things that separate people from, one of the things that brings demarcation, that let me use the right word, demography. And yet demography in a society has to do with belief. So if you come into a country like Ghana, we have certain kinds of people that we call them what, Christians. If a Muslim stands here, if a Muslim stands over here, and a Christian also stands over here, the truth of the matter is that if they don't tell you that he's a Muslim, okay, so you will not see the difference. So, if you come into this country, we have dress codes that is able to help us to see the difference between a Muslim and a Christian. We have even our building structures of conveying, place of conveying, even differentiate us. Our belief is so important to us that even the foods we eat, to some point, differentiate us. We have celebrations. We have things that we do that separate us from other beliefs. And this is as a result of the things that we were told or things that we have learned. So when we come to the issue of identity and belonging, belief is one key thing. People identify themselves with belief. They can do anything as far as they belong to a group of what belief. Now the danger here is that many people tend to subscribe to belief system that they practically have knowledge of the culture of that belief. And it is easy to take advantage of people who subscribe to a call and a belief without a perfect understanding of what they subscribe to. And one of those victims is the Christian faith. That there are so many things about what is actually the definition of a Christian culture, from our language, from our dressing, from our way and mannerism. And yet still, it seems that there is so much confusion in the system that it is so easy to manipulate another believer. If as an average believer, what defines what is Christianity, what are the pillars or the things that define, they don't know. And that is the danger of faith. Now the most dangerous thing is that faith has to do with heart matter, belief. When it comes to belief, there is no logic. Shall I prove it to you? Haven't you heard that professors go to see fetish priests? And concoctions are prepared for them to drink. Even medical experts do that. Are you following me? Do you think by logic, a medical doctor who knows the harm of taking something that has not been medically approved? That is the power of belief. Belief breaks the boundary of logic. So anything that you have invested your heart into and takes control over your heart and you practically have no knowledge of it. I've seen tough women and tough sisters who by logic will not do certain things, but the power of love, which is a heart matter. People, you have a witness in the house.
Yes,
you have witnesses.
Yes.
So today we are going to really examine the things that are surely believed among us. What exactly are the defined tenets of the Christian faith? If we don't do this, and you're going to see why we need to know this. Number one, aside Apostle Paul, you know, Apostle Paul is the son of the founding fathers. Okay, so we are going to look at what are the concerns and the response of the founders of faith or the early apostles concerning this topic we are talking about. Number one, the early apostles were never silent on this matter of our objective faith. In fact, the entire epistles of all the early apostles have to do with our objective faith. Most of their content have to do with their objective faith. I know the most popular and well-known apostle is Paul. So let's see how Paul, with the matter of the things that are surely believed among us, how was Paul's concern and reactions? Number one. Give me the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. The first thing you will see is that in the teachings of Paul, from Romans all the way to, as expected, you know, we are still not thinking about that, but we have a school of theology that the book of Hebrews is written by Paul. From Romans all the way to Hebrews, Paul has never ever told any believer nor any of his preachers to fight except asking them to fight the good fight of it. The believer does not fight against the devil, he stands against him. We take our position. But Paul was very firm and he was very instructive to his spiritual sanctification. He said that when it comes to faith, fight. And not let it be a foolish fight. Fight a good fight. That's it. But thou, O man of God. Somebody say, man of God. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. If you read the preceding verses, or the verses before this one, you find out that, I'll come to the story, you find out that Paul is actually talking about addressing issues of how people have made deception, like how people have turned the word of God into business. And was warning the man of God. Now listen to what he said in verse 12. After listening now, mention, you see the things he mentioned over there. Verse 12 said, fight the good fight of what? Check the scriptures. He's the one who said. And he said, I have fought the fight. You know the fight is talking about. He fought the fight of faith. Never come. Same scripture. Book of Timothy. He said, I have fought the fight of faith. So you will see that Paul's number one concern and reaction to the issue of our authentic faith is that we ought to fight for it. He told his son to fight. Not only did he tell his son to fight, he himself fought some battles. Number one, Paul fought mainly against Judaism. Paul, one of the fights of Paul in the Bible, I hope you get my point, that he instructed the son Timothy to fight. And the fight he asked to fight was the fight of faith, contending for the faith. One of the fights that Paul fought in the early church was the fight against the Judaism or the Judaizers. What was the fight about? They were teaching Christians that unless you observe the laws of Moses, you are not saved. They are still in our system. You get that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. The Judaizers were telling the new convert, especially the not the Jews, the Gentiles, that you think that accepting Jesus Christ is all not for salvation. No. You need to practice the culture and the live now righteous rituals of Moses towards seal your salvation. So there were points that they were even forcing the Gentiles to circumcise. Listen to what was it. Behold, I will say unto you that if he is circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Give him verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from what? And the whole book of Galatians is summed up in one sentence. Galatians 3 verse 3. Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you stand in the spirit and you want to end in the house, in the flesh? And the whole issue that they started attacking the message of salvation, which is solely about Jesus Christ. Now we are in seasons and times where every believer is being told that there must be certain things you must do in addition to the Christ who has set before your sins. Number two. Paul fought against people who used rituals, as I said. So they were using rituals as a justice man or a justification man for salvation. Number two, Paul fought against false prophets. Sorry, false apostles. Paul's fight was against false. You know that it is the apostles who crowned. So concepts like the essential doctrines of the faith, that were demonic false apostles who entered into the church and want to the message of God upside down. So Paul stood up against them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I preach on this topic, but I'll take it again. And this was our essential doctrine. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would God, ye be bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed, Bear with me, continue. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgin to Christ. Continue. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from what? The simplicity that is in what? In Christ. Continue. For in him that cometh, bringeth another Jesus. Whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another what? Spirit. With ye. Continue. Verse 4. And that's between ye. Next. Which ye did not receive, or a different what? Gospel, which ye did not accept, ye do well to bear with him. So people enter the church and start presenting another gospel. And I already spoke about this in the essential doctrines of it, so I'm going to go back to it. If we read Titus chapter 1, verse 11, Titus 1, verse 11. So this is a fight against false apostles. So false apostles actually, the work of a false apostle actually is to fight against the essential doctrines of faith. So teachings that are targeting the essential doctrines of the faith are teachings of false apostles. And Paul, by apostolic grace upon him, started a warfare against them. And one of the places you see this one was in the book of Galatians. That these are not things that were God surely be among us. This is what he said. What should we do? Whose mouth must what? Stop. Who subvert the whole house, teaching this with that ought not what? Filthy what? That's what I want to say. Their mouth, that is the reason we have to stop their mouth. Continue, verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said that Christians are always light, evil beasts, short bellies. Verse 13. These witnesses is true. Wherefore we build them sharply, that they may be sound in the heart. That was the first very wild. In the book of Galatians, he said, okay, if you like, transcript yourself, I don't care. He told the Jews, he like, he Galatians, I'm going to transcript yourself, I don't care. Anybody who comes to you and tell you that Jesus, there you must add another thing to Jesus before your salvation is assured, that is it. It is not part of the thing that the most Lord showed you in the morning. You look at them. But I'm just trying to tell you that this topic of the thing that the most believed among us was a concern of the early apostles, that they actually fought and had their children in instruction that they should fight for this reason. After Paul, there's one popular apostle we know, who is Apostle Peter. Let's look at Apostle Peter. Peter also, what did he do? He also fought against the Jews. But Peter's fight was centered on false teachers. I said false apostles are tackled foundations, right? Our essential doctrines. What actually secures our salvation? What about false teachers? 2 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and 2 Peter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as they shall be what? False what? Teachers among you, who are to privilege, shall bring interminable heresies, even denying the law that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil and spoken of. Verse 3. Listen to the verse very well. What do false teachers do? And through covetousness shall they with what? Few words make merchandise of you. How do false teachers do? They impart the spirit of covetousness. They make merchandise of you. Do not understand merchandise. They profit out of you. Now, you know that in the Bible, covetousness is as the same as idolatry. What? You think Pastor is the one saying it? Let's find out. Give me Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. That word covetous and covetousness is equal as idolatry. And I'm going to explain the term covetousness. Mortify that for yourself. Okay. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil what? Conspicuous. And what? Covetousness. Which is what? Covetousness, which is what? So a covetous person is not different from someone who was worship idols. And if we know that in the Ten Commandments, there is something that God was very critical about, this is how you shall not worship any idol. What is covetousness? It's a greedy desire for worldly gain. Another interpretation of the word covetousness is a greedy desire to find fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in things instead of in God. And you can see these things are going on. When people are looking for fulfillment in things, material things, and you can see the kind of teaching that is going on in the body of Christ, where everything is about material gains. If the believer is not materially blessed, in our dispensation, that believer is cursed. False teachers, they will make profit out of you. A false teacher is the one who makes merchandise of their money, and they will teach you that your best sheet, that's why I told that any faith, I said that to you, any faith that is only secure or that is only directed towards material needs is the teachings of covetousness. If all that your faith can do for you is for material gains, visa, cars, marriage, but that faith cannot let you stand for God, stand for persecution, that faith is covetousness. You are an idol worshiper. And that is the ministry of false teachers. And these are not the things that have surely believed upon us. So Apostle Peter fought them. If you read the whole book of 2 Peter chapter 2, if I be scared for them, the kind of things he said about them. See, nobody who would misuse the name of God will go love you. Don't be deceived, though. These people, these characters who are walking around, parading themselves in the name of Jesus, doing things and taking advantage of the sheep, the body of Christ, you think the ghost of you. Nobody plays with their body said, I will destroy you. There are times God that if we in continuously in the second Peter, he said that God is being merciful and being patient that no one should perish. But when God loses his anger, nobody who is entangled in the ministry, in the kingdom, nobody who misuses the name of God or use the name of Jesus for any form of profit to go off for you. False teachers. So our fathers of faith, their entire ministerial life were warfare. I will take one more. Okay, yeah, I think these two people. Then we move to the next aspect of this. Another person who also really was concerned about the contempt of faith was Apostle John, the man that Jesus loved, the beloved of Jesus. I didn't say that Jesus is not ours, but the disciples, he was the one who was very close to Jesus. He said, I'm the one Jesus loves. Apostle John also fought false apostles. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, there was a certain group of believers in the days of Apostle John who started propagating a particular gospel that Jesus was not born in flesh. In fact, God cannot be born in flesh. And that Jesus is spirit. So any claim that Jesus ever manifested in flesh is false. And Apostle John didn't take it lightly with them. John chapter 4, verse 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, John fought prophets, Peter fought teachers, Paul fought apostles. See what false prophets mean? That's what you mean. Yeah, but we know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And everything that confesses not that Jesus Christ come in flesh, the spirit is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof he has heard that he should come, and even now already he is in the off. So in the days of Paul, John, there were signs and manifestations of Antichrist. And who is an Antichrist? Anybody that will fight the core doctrine that Jesus ever manifested in flesh. And you know from our studies in the essential doctrine that the manifestation of Jesus in flesh was what gave him the legal right and authority to represent us. Else he can never represent us. He's our kinsman. So they start telling them, the false apostles, the prophets, that no, they were too spiritual, that everything was spiritual to them. You have to be very careful with certain wild teachings. I hope you are following. So I said, they're talking about things that I commonly believe that as an aspect of faith called the objective faith. The thing that was surely delivered unto us once and for all. Once and for all. But we begin to know that this is going to be true. We want to find out why what we should do about this matter and our moving. Finally, Apostle Jude, the brother of Jesus. From the book of Jude chapter 5, verse 15, you really follow them. Give me Jude chapter 5, verse 11, mention. Now, give me the verse. Let's start from Jude chapter 1. Okay, move on. For the ascended man, he didn't specify the kind of people they are, their office. And remember, I told you what we call false brethren. What is it mean? After that message, he started attacking people that they are false brethren. And you see that these false brethren address all offices and all kinds of people in the church who come to spy on our thoughts of liberty in God. Now, Apostle Jude was addressing this matter here, that there are people who are crept in on notice. Now, what are the ministry of these people? Verse 11. Three things he fought against. There are three things Apostle Jude fought against. Three things. Warned them, for they are not in the way of what? King. And if you remember the message that I preached, the external threats and enemies of the kingdom, of the gospel, I made mention to you that these are systems that are built outside the will of God. You know the way of King? The way of King is the lifestyle that said that I can do it without God. People who establish themselves outside the will of God. When Cain killed Abel, and God placed a test on him, God said, Cain left the presence of God. It's scriptures for Cain left the presence of God, and he built a city. The city that Cain built is what we call Babel. The way of Cain. We can do without God. You don't need God to do everything. There are no generation. No people are teaching that. They be all the other way, everything. Everything, no. This one we can do without God. That is the way of it. Any message, any teaching that encourages you that you can do certain things outside God. But that in Him we move and have our being. For if I live, I live for the Lord. If I die, I die for Him. Any teaching that tells you that this can be done. That is why we have every believer who thinks that your relationship can be done outside the will of God. And then we pray. The way of Cain. Number two, what was the second thing before? Yes. And run greedily after the arrow of what? The arrow of Balaam. You know the arrow of Balaam? It's the same as covetousness. Greedy, power hungry. A little normal people that they sent to our brother with some small gold and silver, we need to have God. Are you saying as you and God is fixed for us. If you go back again and ask God, what did you say? You will speak what your heart is telling you. Most of the times, the answered prayers that we said we have received, God answered our the prayers of our heart. When you pray first, God said, this guy is not good for you. Say, let me go and fast again and pray. God will answer your prayer request. Bible said, for once has the Lord spoken, not twice has the Lord spoken. Once. Cain was told, sorry, Balaam, do not go. And then Balaam sent more noble men. Sister made a statement that in today's generation of Christian sisters, when the brother is broken, you tell the brother, we let him go and ask God. But when the brother comes to back bench, that is an answered prayer. That is the error of Balaam. When Balaam said more noble men, the prophet Balaam couldn't stand his feet. He said, let me go and ask God again. And God, who knows the heart, said, for men look at the heart of God, but I look at the heart, knew what was in the heart, covetousness. Say, if it is not the animal who was wiser than the human an animal, there was a doubt that he spoke to the madness of the prophet. There are many who are mad in this kingdom. There might be mad. Come on for the message of our Father the Lord. Highlands, madmen and wolves. And you see the madmen who are parading themselves around as men of God. They are at the error of Balaam. And Apostle Jude came after them. The last one. The rebellion of Korah. These were the three things that was in the days of Apostle Jude. And he was warning the church about it. Do you know the rebellion of Korah? People who challenge authority. See, because of small grace and anointing that came upon you, keep your spiritual father. He said, Moses, are you the only prince here? Are you the only person that was with you? Now, let's establish a democratic system of governance. That is the rebellion of Korah. He said, no, henceforth, we want to reject God's modern system of governance. Why he speaks to you alone? Now, we want to establish a democratic system. Church, where you think that you, your view matter and your pastor must listen to you. My pastor is jealous of my grace. I'll be honest, that you can say, which grace do I have that? Like? the rebellion of Korah. These were teachings that were going on. It was so obvious that their lifestyle, the Bible said, were going up as clean flesh. When you go to UK, there are bishops who advocate for down GBT. That Jesus loves everybody. Yes. But does Jesus endorse them? And these are the member of Christian. Did this go through the thing that was of Bible? So that the young person who's born in UK now, obviously in church, will think that LGBT is God approved. But we have to contend for the faith. I pray for you that you would contend for the faith. Stop fighting witches and wizards. God never asked you to fight witches and wizards. The fight that you are only asked to fight is the fight of good faith. May you fight a fight of good faith, not a fight of covetousness. Some of you get losses. You are fasting for this. Possibly.
Simon to what?
But when he became a critical matter, he referred to his past. What did he say? Behold! Said that I desire to have you. Was that called dog so big now? It's a serious matter. Some of you are sitting here, if not for the prayer of your spiritual mother and by the message of God, the way the devil has swallowed saliva about your life for many times, you have not gotten it. It's like a dog that has been chained. You see those good dogs, who? Chain them, they are going to make you know. You make sure that everything is taken up. How many of you have ever went on maize or rice? You see, taking away the hearts of those people. That's what the devil wanted you to be done. All the grace, the anointing, the blessing of God, you put you on the sea. You make sure that he drains everything out of you. He did that to Job. Within 24 hours, he guess what? If Jesus has permitted Peter, I don't know what will be left of Peter. Job, within 24 hours, his properties, his children were gone. In the next moment, he attacked his health. He knocked Job on all sides. The reason why the devil, they were content after the objective is because they knew in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said that I am so generous because I know that there are people who are coming after him. So he wants to save you like this. But what he says is, verse 9, verse 2, but I have prayed for thee that what? Thy faith fail not. Everything that the enemy is doing and they are protecting is God will want your faith to fail. He said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy faith. Receive strength. Receive strength. Any attack on your faith, objective faith, subjective faith, any way of doctrine, anything that the enemy has come after you, I pray. The Bible says Jesus intercedes for us. The intercession of Jesus for Peter was that his faith will not fail. I pray you will not fail. May you not get to my point and say that I denounce Jesus. May you not get to the point and say that Jesus never died for you. May you not get to the point and say that Jesus never lived. Have the enemy seek to see him like we, but he said, I pray for you.
Qualified for a job, but because you don't open your legs, you rather stop it.
24, the thing that assuredly believe that on us, that when the time of trial comes, do not give up. The Bible has been bent, banned. Christians have been all kinds of hell. But every day, the more they kill us, oh my God. The one they kill us. What's it for? They kill us all day. How about we are alive? Now it is very difficult. For people to even expressively say that they are Christians in certain parts of the world. Go to America and all these wrong countries, but say a Christian. You have already become an enemy of people. People will hate you for no reason, that you're a Christian. Recently, I heard one people participating in U.S. who just converted to become a Christian was given $2.something million so that he just spoke in a reason. He said he don't reason. They took him out the level. Neymar was paid so that you know where anything that has the inscription of Jesus. Anything that has to do with it. God, they are okay. Jesus will come after them. So we need to be spreading the authentic faith. Recently, in this Women African, whatever thing, there's a Nigerian player who, and the way they come after him, the most hated religion in the world is Christianity. And I tell you, there is more persecution coming. This will be persecutions of. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, that the very families have been eaten 7 times. You did not choose to bow or end. And it is your faith, your objective faith, the thing that I surely believe, as long as the thing that you have been taught and grounded in as faith, that will let you decide whether to enter the very families. Wait until your father and mother rejects you. Cut off every supply because you choose to serve God. How will we solve it? We are praising Christians who have no knowledge of what it takes to get Christian. If some of us were born in the early church, like nobody said we do not know. One of the accounts of the early church, the one I cried was that a woman had 7 children. And they line up her children in front of her. Said, deny Jesus Christ. That's who killed the children. And right in front of her, they killed all her 7 children. And she said, die. Madness of faith. What encounter were you exposed to? They killed all her children. And she died with them. They killed her children. That's one renowned man of God in the city. He was in his 80s, 86s. They said, religion for all my years. Jesus never ever tells me. Why should I at this time that I should embrace him? Turn my back on him. Say, bend me alive. I will never reject him. You look at today's Christianity. Do you know why people easily give up on them? Because they have not been granted the thing that are surely given among us. Today Christianity, a common thing in 3 days, I said, I know. Oh, okay, I did it. And then God didn't come to me. Are you serious? Jesus didn't say that Peter will escape the trials of faith. He said, when you are trying of your faith, you shall. So the first thing, why we need to contend for the faith and why they fought for the faith was because the devil's ultimate target and goal is to make sure your faith fail. That you give up on Jesus. And deny him. See many people giving up on Jesus. Jack, sorry, bro. Sometimes you will use giving the whole man of God your faith. You are not serious. Somebody asks that if because of somebody you give up on Jesus, you are not serious. You didn't really know Jesus. Paul said, what shall separate me from the love? That my sword. Some of us are going through certain things like it. Not everything does your it. And we are embracing them because Because one evidence of faith is that faith sees trial and persecutions as treasures. So the Bible said, Moses forsook the treasures of Egypt and embraced the reproach. If your faith cannot embrace reproach, it's not the Bible faith, it is contentiousness. Number two. The reason why they contended for the faith or they fought for the objective faith is because they were men stewards. And we have men stewards. Now, another point three. We'll continue another time on the same topic. I don't rush it. Because you find out that if the objective faith is not well administered to you, you will get all other things wrong. Because you are mixed stewards. We are stewards of God's divine gift. And for us, it is required that we will be faithful. And one of our acts of faithfulness is that we contend for the truth, nothing but the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I believe we have what? This ministry. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's the 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man show account of us as the ministers of what? Christ. And stewards of what? The mysteries of what? So you are a steward of the mystery, the hidden wisdom of God. Verse 2. Now listen to what I say. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found. 1 Corinthians 9:16. The reason why they contended for the faith is because they were stewards and they are also stewards. Anybody who cannot take a stand for the objective faith and fight for the objective faith, such a person is not a steward yet in the kingdom. And in fact, if you're not a steward in the kingdom, you're a criminal. Because in the kingdom, nobody owns anything. We are not stewards. If you go to that settlement, they go through for all everything. Anyone who owns anything in that settlement is a criminal. You can die for that. So if you are in the kingdom of God and you are an honor, you are a criminal. And the question is, have you been faithful as a steward of the mysteries of God? That's why you have to call the mysteries, the things that are mostly believed among us, so that you will define it as a duty of a steward. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is what laid upon me, yea, what is unto me if I preach not the gospel? What is the gospel? The birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God. That is the gospel. And this is what is surely believed among us. If you are not seeing that it's a necessity to preach that gospel, and it is a woe unto you, then you said a person, you are a criminal in the kingdom of God, because you have to steal. How many of us are faithful servants or stewards of the gospel? The average believer is in the church to preach the gospel. Let's continue to verse 18. What is my word then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without words. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Okay, let me not go there. It's okay. I may go to the second verse. That's the sequence of that question. Verse 7, verse 2. But even after that, he had suffered before, listen up, and were safely entreated, as he know at all. Philippa, we were born in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much what? Content. That is the work of a steward. After going through all kinds of shame and everything, they still were bold. Just the small thing I'm going to see. One of the funny things about this kingdom is that God has not cared what you are going through. He will still use you to do his job. Paul said that for this thing I prayed 3 times of the like he may this and preach this and I say, my grace is on there. Come on, go and do that job. Because somebody insulted because he preached. Oh, the guy who wants to do that. May have taken some before. We wait for him to say, get ready. Maybe you'll be also into that ministry. It was a simple swing. Question, did I tell you about that? A simple swing. Don't broke us, we try it. We try it. Yes. Don't try this one here and I'm not a bit more. Or my invitation. Try this one. God, that woman will be dear. And yes, we still preach that gospel. I remember preaching and I went to Holy Child, and a student insulted us. Do you know how students have looked down upon us going to school to go and preach? Sometimes your ego will be so dry, your ego has a yes, though. The following day, if another school called us, you know. Why? We are students. We will contend for the meeting. Today, there are fruits of that labor sitting right there. See? The reason why the fourth of contending for the objective faith is to present the truth. And this is the point I was trying to make. That the moment the authentic faith is corrupted, all other doctrines. Paul said that if they preach another gospel, another spirit, or another Christ to you, it means that you have been led out. And let me tell you, all false encounters, false in the spirit, all these false religion, in the name of presenting, came as a result of what? False gospel, false Christ, or false spirit. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is our last part. Galatians chapter 1. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we were, that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? The reason why they were defending and fighting for the objective faith is because there were men and all kinds of encounters preaching another gospel. Anybody, if we come and preach another Jesus, we are cursed. Now the church team, now people are struggling to know the truth in the church. The truth. They are struggling to know the truth in the church. Because some people feel to contend. We have a serious problem in Ghana now. Because some people, when it became their duty to condemn, that anybody can stand on the radio or TV to say any nonsense, and there's no any further figure to correct them. Everybody's minding themselves. They're not a steward. Paul fought. Peter fought. Jude fought. Jude, you don't want to fight because you don't want anybody to ridicule you. You are minding your business. You think church is a bona fide property? Let me make this statement to you. Anything that you can never be to your children or your family member is not for you. Anything that you cannot write on your will is not for you. So stop not making bona fide ownership of the church. That idiot does not own TMI. In fact, you tell that he's also a pastor. In fact, he told me that I'm on my own. I asked him to come and pray for me. He said he's not done with what he's doing in his church. And I was surprised. He said, he is the church. I said, I don't have a crap. He said, everybody is minding their own business. When he's done, he will come and visit us. The question is, did I tell me I know my own authority?
No.
But he's teaching me to know that just as he's also a steward, can also a steward, he doesn't own the church. In other words, what can sideline him and still tear my own home? But some people think that they own the church. You are not the owner, you are just a means to start a move of God. So instead of us to contend for the faith, that the truth will be present, I tell you, if we don't stand up very soon, the things that we'll be hearing on pulpit, you know, now the truth about prayer is corrupted. The truth about holiness is corrupted. The truth about faithfulness is corrupted. The truth about loyalty. Now we are loyal to men and God. How about that issue? You see the church. People now worship their pastors. Now worshiping God. Paul said, follow me. That's how you watch it. It's only a fool who follows somebody who's not following Christ. Are you blind? The only reason why you in this set must follow me is God. The day I stop following Christ, you know, you don't follow me. So they contended for the faith so that they can preserve the truth. And the only way the only way to contend against deception and delusion is the right faith. Whenever the truth is under attack, it means that I hope you're following. The moment that the truth is under attack, it means that deception and delusion has also entered the church. And you look at that thing very well. Let's read this last scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. They should not believe about. So there's going to be a single way delusion will be in the church. The only way you can escape that delusion is that you are grounded on the truth. It's my prayer that first of all, you will be ready to be a faithful steward to contend for the faith. It's my prayer that you will not be affected as it was in the early church where Apostle Jude has to change his message title. He said, I wanted to talk to you about our common salvation, but I have to change the message topic because we need to contend for the faith. There are men and women who have entered the church with all kinds of doctrine. Today, when you see people, I saw something on them. I don't talk about this. May God help us. As we journey through the objective faith, the things that is surely believed among us, may you be saved from every fake minister, every fake apostle, fake prophet, fake teacher. It's my prayer that in all things, when your faith is being tried and tested, no matter what, you will stand. You will stand. You will stand. For if your faith is being tried and tested, stand for God. You will not give up your holy life for a mere money. You will not become like the brother of Abel. Okay. Who will lead the presence of God? May you never become. May you never become yourself because of a muscle of big bread, big problem. You sell your bread right. If you understand the objective, you will know that there is more to materialism. This Christian faith is not a call unto materialistic thing. No. In fact, let me let you know, our treasure are stored up in heaven. What shall it profit a man when you have all the things of this world and you give up on your faith? Footballers are giving up on their faith. Musicians are giving up on their faith. People in all forms of life, politicians, have given up on their faith. Started in the things of God, like the church of Galatians, but ended up in flesh, following up other things. God save this generation. It is on this very purity life, the passion of the authentic faith, that we shall see the Lord. The difference between us and the elegant is that they shock up and we are not seeing God. The Bible says, for Moses, he made his ways known unto him, but the people, they are his acts. May our journey through this authentic faith establish us. That we will know the things that are truly believed among us, the things that God has revealed unto us as our path of righteousness, and the things that crown us, that we can transact business to prosperity. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we give a clap of praise to the Lord?
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.